Have you ever found yourself wondering what you'll do with all the debt you have? Debt's something that impacts every one of our lives, so why don't we talk about it more? Let's talk about that in today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we talk about money because there's more than just math to your finances. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Today, I'm excited to dive into the topic that's universally relatable, yet often confusing and intimidating, and that is debt. As someone who's grappled with the weight of debt and its emotional complexities myself, I understand firsthand the challenges it can present and the importance of finding a path forward. In this episode, we'll embark on a journey guided by the insights of Jeff Anzalone, who shares his experience and perspectives of navigating debt from his early days as a Dave Ramsey fan to charting his own course towards financial independence. Jeff's story offers lessons and practical strategies for anyone seeking to conquer debt and build financial security with their financial future. We'll explore a wide range of topics from risks around debt, particularly for high earners, what should you even consider when it comes to debt, the importance of a strategic plan, and flexibility in a financial philosophy. Jeff's journey serves as a testament of knowledge, collaboration, and continuing to learn and grow to overcome challenges as you really reach for those long-term goals. So whether you're feeling overwhelmed by debt or simply looking to sharpen your financial saw, join us as we unpack a great conversation around debt management, and uncover some actionable insights that you can take into your money talks with your friends and family to help you on your financial journey. The money talking points for today's episode are: you can't change much about your financial situation overnight. What small step do you need to take today to change your situation? And two, how much money is automatically going out the door every single month? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Dr. Jeff Anzalone. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name, so I'll let you correct me here in a moment. But Jeff, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody?
Yeah, I tell people a way to remember my last name. It's kind of like loan, getting a loan, except we're going to talk about debt. Anzalone. Yes.
There we go. Anzalone. Awesome. Well, what do you do? What do you do in your day job? I know you talk a lot about debt. That's what your website and stuff specialized around.
I'm a periodontist in Louisiana, and I've got your typical doctor story about having a bunch of school debt and how my wife and I got out from under it, and now we're taking a different path to financial freedom right now.
Awesome. Well, that's an introduction to what we're talking about today, which is all around debt, taking on debt, feeling stuck with debt. So it's going to be a great conversation. I'm excited for this one. We'll jump right into it here with everyone deals with debt one way or another. It comes into everyone's life in some sort of way. How do you feel about debt in your own life?
Well, I've changed a little bit. You know, when I got out of school in 2005, I was a big Dave Ramsey fan, and pretty much him and Susie Orman were about the only big people back then. You know, you were talking 20 years ago. And I had 2 weeks before I got out of my training, the practice I was supposed to join fell through. That job fell through. And I don't know if you know anything about dental school or medical school, but they don't teach you the important things. Number one, about money. And number two, about how to run a business or practice. So my wife and I, we had a 2-month-old, $300,000 of student loan debt, and had already started already bought a home, like an interest only loan.
Wow.
So you can imagine how we felt with not knowing what to do, not knowing how to do anything, and having all that debt. So luckily I was able to follow Dave Ramsey's plan and, you know, built up my practice. Took us about 7.5 years to pay off the student loans in that first house. And I really think, you know, looking back, that, you know, Dave is great for the masses. He's really good, but people that want a little bit more out of life, they want to take some risk, which, you know, we can get into if you want to. I do think there's some different types of debt that are potentially good as long as you know what you're doing. But for most people, student loan debt, of course, credit card debt, consumer debt, you know, I'm totally against it.
Yeah, those consumer debts, like you said, credit cards are the ones you got to stay away from. It's just not good for your financial life. And I like what you said there. Maybe let's touch on Dave Ramsey for just a second. You talked about kind of going beyond Dave Ramsey. Do you think that's someone everyone should do? Because people ask me, they're like, oh, what's your opinion on Dave Ramsey? I tell them I do a financial podcast. And I'm like, well, I listened to him for years. He got me started, got me in the right headspace, but I don't listen to him anymore. Do you think that's a typical journey?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I think that people know what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And I like to take bits and pieces from people. You know, I've listened to Dave Ramsey. I've listened to Grant Cardone. I've listened to Robert Kiyosaki. I've listened to, you know, all these different people. And I think that you can learn from each person. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what you're most comfortable with. Because if somebody is telling you something that just goes against all of your beliefs and just makes you just feel sick at your stomach, it's not the best. You know, the best thing for me is not going to be the best thing for Skylar and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I just think that people need to listen to their options and then do what's best for them, taking into account their gut feeling.
Yeah, I love the idea of do what's best for you. That's one thing. When I started this podcast, I was like, I don't want to be the only person you're listening to. No one else should be the only person you're listening to. You need to get those pieces of information from all sorts of different areas. I love that. And I think that's a great way to take your financial advice. But also, if you don't know where to get started, listening to Dave Ramsey, like you said, he's great for the masses. He'll get you going on some sort of a spending plan and things like that. So it's a good place to get started.
Yeah. And think about it. Most people coming out of college or dental school, medical school, law school, they go from making nothing to, you know, sometimes making six figures, you know, almost like these pro athletes go from, you know, nothing to millions of dollars. And if you don't know how to handle that, it's a good idea. It's a great idea to use his plan to start working through getting the budget, paying off that debt. At least you have a foundation. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once you learn more and get, you know, because as you know from the Bible, too much is given, much is required. So if you don't know, if you're given a lot, you don't really know what to do. Well, start with the basics, build that cornerstone. And then as you go off and maybe try different things that are riskier, lose money, well, you can always go back to, you know, where you started from.
Yeah, I like the idea of set the foundation. I wrote that in my notes, too, of set the foundation and then build upon it with other people's stories and things like that. So you mentioned high earners, people that maybe come out of college, weren't making much, and now they're making six figures or more. People with a high income, they may think, oh, I have a lot of money coming in monthly to afford my life on monthly payments. They have the credit card debt. They have a auto loan. They have their big mortgage payment. Is there risk with debt when you're a high earner, or can you really just afford life on a monthly payment?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that most people get over their head, especially for people that go to school longer. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're a doctor or you're an attorney. Well, you may not get out until you're 30, start making money, but you're looking back at your friends that have been out since they've been 21, 22. And so you've delayed all this time. You look back, they have the cars, they have the boats, they have the nice house, the country club membership. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm a doctor, I'm a professional, whatever, I deserve all this. Yet we're starting behind the eight ball. Plus we have a lot of debt. And if you have that mindset, then it's going to be very, very difficult to build wealth, because it's really hard to delay that gratification. It's hard to continue living like a student, continue living like a resident to get all that paid off. Because, you know, you'll start off in the house, and then what happens? You have kids, typically, you get a bigger house, you upgrade the cars, you upgrade your friends, the private school, if you do that. Everything just keeps getting more and more expensive. I mean, I look back when I got out, and, you know, our kids were small and our budget was just like literally nothing. Mm-hmm. And now it's so much bigger just because of a lifestyle creep. And we're at a different stage of our lives right now, because about every 5 years, your life is going to completely change. You know, for you talking to a 10 and 11 year old kid versus you talking to a 15 and 16 year old kid, that's totally different. And what you think is going to happen in 15 years or 20 years and 30, typically it's not. So I typically like to look at 5 year increments. Mm-hmm. You know, 'cause if you set a 30 year goal, it's very hard to attain that. But if you But if you set shorter ones, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, you're much more likely to attain it.
Yeah. And I like the thought that came to my mind is right at the beginning of that, of keeping your, or get your foundation in place. So like pay off those loans before you really start going for those nice things or stuff like that. Because if you are dragging around that burden of either student loan debt or other things like that, or a big mortgage that you couldn't afford or something like that, and then you're continuing to increase your life on that, that's when it gets even more difficult and when the risk of debt gets even higher. What kind of thought should go through people's mind when they're thinking about taking on debt? What kind of risk do people need to be aware of?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of debt is it? Is it a fixed 30-year mortgage or 15-year mortgage on a house? Or is it a 25% credit card?
You know, yeah, debt? let's start with the consumer items. So yeah, like credit cards or an auto loan or things like that. Where do those things get risky?
Well, I think that if you have no clue how to handle money or budget, and you just spend all that. I mean, you know yourself better than anybody mm-hmm. else. You know your way. So you just have to look at, if you're the type of person like me, I log in every day and we have 6 credit cards. We have 3 for the business and 3 personal. I pay them off every day. But the reason mm-hmm. why I look at it every day is because we've been hacked in the past. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that every charge lines up. You know, plus we have kids, you know, sometimes using the cards for stuff, maybe it's gas or restaurant or whatever. So again, that, you know, for the first 10 years of my life, we had debit cards, but now things have changed because again, I've become, you know, more financially responsible and I understand mm-hmm. how to do it. Plus I understand myself, but if you can't do that, then stick with debit cards. You know, yeah. or something like that. So again, I think it starts with who you are and how much you think you can handle. Because you're not going to yeah. walk into a gym if you haven't worked out in 20 years and start bench pressing 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to start small and, you know, work your way up.
I like that. You don't start maxing out machines on your first day, so take it yeah. small. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that often people can feel behind in their finances. So they feel like they got to rush right up to that max weight or whatever to keep the reference going. But like you said, getting that foundation, me and my wife for like the first year of our marriage only used a debit card. And it was kind of me being too in on the Dave Ramsey side of things, that I was like, this is the way we're going to do it. But I honestly think it was beneficial because it helped us get that foundation of knowing where our money's going because it's coming out of our account right away. And then we moved on to the credit cards, kind of similar to what you said, but I like how you said that you check them every day because that's just your experience and that's okay. Like if someone checks them once a month because they're comfortable with that and that's how they handle it, that's okay. I love the idea that there's like individualism to how we handle our money, and especially when it comes to managing those consumer items that can cause debt. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about, you mentioned a mortgage was your first response to what you were thinking about talking about with this. What are some risk that people have to consider when looking at mortgages or those bigger loan items?
Yeah, and I really haven't heard of anybody talk about, I guess, how much, you know, your monthly payment should be that's better probably than Dave, at least starting out. Because mm-hmm. you know, the banks or whoever, they'll loan you the max, and you're just like, oh gosh, I can get a loan for, you know, for $500,000, but if you plug in Dave's formula, maybe it's just $250, and that mm-hmm. that keeps you like, okay, well then no more than 25% of your take home pay, 15-year mortgage. I think that's a great place to start, especially if you've never owned a home before, because if most people that, you know, I lived in an apartment for 11 years during my training, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm wasting all this money, and I'm thinking, okay, if I have a $1,000 mortgage payment, people will compare that to their apartment payment, $1,000, mm-hmm. but you have no clue what goes on with home ownership yeah. until mm-hmm. you do that, you know, with maintenance and repairs and taxes and insurance. It's totally different. It's like comparing apples to oranges. But so I think that, you know, sticking with his, you know, no more than 25%, the monthly payment of your take home pay, I think that's a great place to start until you, again, get to the point where you understand what's going on and, you know, go from there.
Yeah. So like that's your good foundation. Almost that Dave Ramsey's mortgage advice is the debit card of the mortgage world in a way. Like it's the safer, easier approach to take. What's your opinion on 15 versus 30 years? Is that something people should automatically go one way, or is there room for both?
Again, I think if you're just starting off and you don't want to get in over your head, I think the 15 year is good. And then you have to realize that, you know, Dave Ramsey, again, is speaking to the masses. He's mm-hmm. speaking to the majority of people that are employees or they're self-employed. Probably most of them are employees. And they like their safety. They like their 401k. They like their benefits they get from their job. And they like, you know, getting a paying off that house in 15 years if possible. And again, if that's right for you. But you have to look at what Dave teaches is everything, all your money from your household, it comes from you trading time for money. Well, mm-hmm. either you or your spouse. And again, that's the majority of America. And again, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. And I had a snow skiing accident after about 12 years that I hurt my hand. That made me realize that, you know, it's kind of hard to treat patients without hands, mm-hmm. that I needed to do something else. Well, I never heard about anything else from Dave, about other sources of income, about real estate, about passive income. And that got me on the journey of finding out more about it. And so to go back to your question, 15 to 30 years, I have a 30-year mortgage now, but I've got a mobile home park that pays the mortgage. Mm. So that's a different way of thinking. If you have other sources of income and you can do that, well, why not let something else pay off your mortgage instead of you? You know, so again, it comes down to knowing how to handle things. It comes down to knowing what you're doing. I mean, just that statement right there, it took years and years and years to get to that point, to finding mm-hmm. people to work with, to partner with, to knowing how to buy real estate and this and that. So it's just not something you can just flip a switch and do. But if you can get to that point, then, you know, your money is worth a whole lot more now. So mm-hmm. let's just say your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month and you get a 30-year mortgage. Okay. Fast forward. So, and you don't refinance or anything. So fast forward mm-hmm. 29 years from now. So you have 1 year of paying off your home. Your mortgage is still $2,000 a month. How much do you think your $2,000 29 years from now is going to be worth?
Definitely more. Like, especially if, I mean, I hope interest doesn't keep up like it was, but if you have a moment like that, then yeah, a good amount.
So your $2,000 now spending power 29 years from now may only be $1,000. You know, you may only be able to buy $1,000 worth of stuff. So your inflation is just, so the point mm-hmm. is, even though your mortgage payment is going to be staying the same, your dollars aren't going to be worth near what they are today. So why would I rush off and pay with all of the dollars now that are worth more to something that inflation is going to erode away from me? And again, I've got an asset, a mobile home park that's going to go up in value. Mm-hmm. That's going to pay it off. Again, it's a different way of thinking. So to answer your question, if you know how to get other things to pay for your mortgage, I would say a 30-year. If it's on you, which probably 99.9% of people that are listening to this, then I would say probably a 15-year, and then, you know, life goes on.
Yeah, I like that approach of 15 if you're on your own, and if you're going to get a 30, you got to find something to help you take care of it. And you mentioned your mobile home park that you have an investment in, but there's also, like, you could put, if your interest rate's low enough, there's ways to just use the stock market and keep it simple. So there's a lot of ways to keep it easy, but I really like the mindset of, if you have a 30 year, use something else to help you pay off the mortgage. That's fantastic. Let's talk about getting out of debt or having debt. Should people always have debt? Like, is it something that we should just be always living with, or should we be striving to get out of it?
It depends on what the debt's for. You know, I've got mm-hmm. debt on all of the different properties that I have. But again, though, that debt is being paid down by my tenants, mm-hmm. not by me. But if somebody just has a bunch of credit card debt and home loans and boat loans and and everything else where it's on you, then no, I don't recommend. I recommend that you get out from under all of that debt, that credit card debt, because it's just most important thing at the end of the day is your time. Mm-hmm. And if you have all this debt, then guess what? You have to trade time for money to pay it off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You have to trade that time right back for money to pay it off, and it's growing interest and all that sort of stuff. So make sure you get out from underneath those ones. What if someone feels stuck? What if they feel like that credit card debt is too large? It's growing on its, it just keeps growing. It never seems to get smaller. How do people get out of debt when they feel stuck?
Well, I think that if it gets to that point, then they need to get, if they can't do it on their own, then they need to find help. Whether that's mm-hmm. somebody associated with Dave Ramsey, whether that's a family member or friend, something like that. And it, probably a good idea to take Dave's advice and cut up the credit cards, quit using them. You know, kind of like if you're trying to lose weight and you're addicted to chocolate and your pantry's full of chocolate, well, just that temptation of mm-hmm. it being there, knowing that you're not supposed to eat it. So if you have those credit cards there, knowing you're not supposed to use them, you're going to be tempted. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're married, you know, it's great to get on the same. It's hard if you're not both on the same page to get where you're going, because one person's going one way and one person's going the other.
Yeah. When one person feels like, hey, we got to get out of this, and they don't even mention it to the other spouse, then it's just you're continually colliding, you're fighting, you're not having good conversations about it. But that's great. I love that. Get at it. Like, do what you need to do. Actually take steps towards it is what I pulled from that. Get rid of the credit cards if those are the problem child in your debt portfolio or something like that. I have one more final question here, but I want to hear a little bit more about what you do as the debt-free doctor. The last question, we'll come to it in a second, just to let you start thinking about it, is what do you wish you would have done sooner when it comes to money? But if you'd like to share just a little bit about what you do with your debt-free doctor and how that works and what people can chat with you about and things like that.
Yeah, I pretty much just educate high income earners about my journey and about, you know, a lot of things that we've been talking about, how to basically exit the rat race with passive income. And I just use my personal experience. I'm not telling you something that I don't practice what I preach, because I do, and share my experience about how to use real estate, how to find real estate deals for passive income, and what that could do to free up your time. Because I want everybody to, you know, I think if you make good money, if you make, you know, a decent six-figure salary, you should be to the point within 8 to 10 years to be where work is optional for you. Mm-hmm. If you choose to do that.
Yeah, I like that. And people listening to my podcast have heard it on multiple episodes of take what other people have done and mirror that. Like, take what they've done and iterate on their successes. So what you're doing is you're sharing your successes, your story with people. So if they join in with you, and then they can learn what you've done, and then they can mirror it in their own lives. So that's really cool. That's awesome that you're sharing your story. That's fantastic. But let's wrap it up here with my last question that I like to ask people is, what do you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
I think the Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant concept. And for those of you that don't know, it's four quadrants, and on the left side, he calls it the poor side. And that's where the majority of people are. You're an E, you're an employee, or you're an S, you're self-employed. And that's how most people operate. They trade time for money. If they quit working, money doesn't come in. Their income, their active income, is the highest tax income there is. So I wish I would have just learned more about how people make money, how I make money, versus the right side, which he calls the rich side of the quadrant, is the business owners, to where they have all these employees working for them, so they don't have to be there. Think of a gym owner. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be there. You can go off and travel or do whatever. You can have people, a manager and employees. And then you have the investor, which is the ultimate goal, to where you're basically, your money is making money for you. You don't have to trade time for money. People in those two quadrants, those sources of income are the lowest taxed bracket. And that's why you hear about all these billionaires. They don't pay much in taxes because they're on the right side of the quadrant. So I wish I would have known that whole concept earlier, and then I would have been focused more on getting from the left, the employee, self-employed side, to the right, the business owner, the investor side much sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I like the mindset that puts you in where you're investing your money, your money's making you money. That's a great place to get to. So I've started asking this question, it's one teaching me a bunch of things that I need to learn more about. So thank you. But this question is super insightful for people because I'm sure people younger than me listening that could use this to get started. Now they're going to go look up a new concept and it's going to help them get going a little bit earlier in life. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a really fun conversation. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, happy to do it. Appreciate your invitation.
Thank you so much to Dr. Jeff Anzalone for coming on today's episode. That was a really great conversation, and I'm glad he was able to join me, and I know I learned a lot, so I hope you were able to take some away from today's conversation. A couple of key takeaways that I wanted to talk about that could impact you as you were listening to today's interview. First is that knowledge is extremely empowering. You want to make sure you understand your relationship with debt. Do you know what you want to do with debt? Do you know how you want to pay off debt? We don't know what we want to do if we don't understand debt at a base level. So that's why it's important for us to talk about it with our friends and family. And one conversation I think is important to know, especially when you're in a marriage or working together on money with someone, is whose debt is it? Though you may work together with money with a spouse and it's both of your debt, maybe that's what you consider, but whose debt is it really? Think about this. My wife, Rebecca, and I, we manage our money together. We're very intertwined when it comes to our money knowledge and knowing what's going on with our money. But Rebecca's student loans are a great story of this. I was only looking at the math, and she was considering how it was her education that these loans were tied to and her job that these loans were tied to. And she didn't want to feel like she had to work forever because I was looking at the math of when would be the best way to pay off the loan so we could use our money in other ways and things like that. Whereas I was only looking at the math, she helped me realize and uncover the behavior and emotions behind loans. So make sure you're talking about it so that you can actually understand how debt impacts you beyond just the numbers. Education is extremely important so that you can make the correct decisions because you don't know what you don't know. And that's a great place to go have a money talk with a coworker or a friend or come on the podcast. Let's talk about money together. I think that would be fantastic. Second, a great takeaway you can have is that you have to plan for financial growth. I like the idea of planning life in 5-year increments. And I think that's because you really don't know much beyond that. And so much changes. Think back 5 years ago, could you have planned every single thing right up to this moment? And the answer is no. So by setting achievable goals and adapting financial strategies along the way, you can definitely figure out how you're going to manage debt and work towards that stability that you want. And that's why I think the 5-year plan was really, really beneficial. So as you're building that plan, make sure you're writing it down. You could go listen to episode 56 and episode 6 about the importance of a plan and about writing a plan down. So make sure you go check out episode 6. It talks about the importance of a written plan. It provides clarity and focus on your goals, helps you reduce stress by knowing your roadmap for the future, and it helps make dreams more tangible and achievable. You can also stay way more on track and be way more accountable to your goals when they're written down. It demands dedication and time towards that actual planning and encourages you to keep the goals in manageable steps. And you're also able to be flexible. You're able to acknowledge that life's unpredictable because you have your plan written down. You can say, oh, we're not going to quite hit this one, and that's okay because we didn't foresee X crazy circumstance 3 years ago when we wrote this plan down. So make sure you're taking into consideration that you're going to have to be flexible when it comes to your written plan. But that's why it's so important to have it written down so that we know how we actually need to adapt and adjust. Again, I want to harp on that flexibility is so important. You have to make sure you have those foundational principles like we talked about in the interview. Dave Ramsey can be that good foundation, and then you can flex around that. But you won't know how to flex if you don't have your foundation in place. So make sure you have your foundation there because the importance of flexibility cannot be understated. We have to maintain the foundation, but what if you have an expensive month? What if you have a month where your power bill is way bigger than you thought it would be? What are you going to do? And that's where it's important to have that element of flexibility. And by incorporating all the knowledge out there, there's so much knowledge out there with different podcasts, different resources, and staying true to your core beliefs, you can figure out the plan that works best for you. And keep it in line with what you want to do, and you can flex with that plan and build the plan for you because that's what's so important. Money is so unique. That's why it's important to listen to other shows, listen to my show, talk to other people about money, because when you work together, the collaborative approach is what can really help you when it comes to managing your money better. And both being collaborative with a spouse and with friends is something that can be really awesome because I don't care how you manage the actual numbers when it comes to being married. You have to be emotionally and behaviorally aligned with the spouse in order to do well with your money. If you manage money separately, whatever. But if you have different goals, you're going to continue going in those separate ways, and money can be a main driving force behind divorce, financial struggle, marital problems, things like that. And it's important to have open communication and shared decision-making so that you can tackle debt challenges or any other financial challenge that might come your way together. My last thing that can be impactful from today's conversation is to continually be learning. Jeff encouraged all of us to have a mindset of growth, a mindset of learning, and stay curious. Listen to other podcasts, listen to this show, talk to other people about money, and empower yourself to make confident financial choices by having a wealth of knowledge around you, both in your mind, but also a great amount of people that you can talk to. But overall, the conversation was fantastic today, but that's just the impact that you can take away from it. I have a lot more in today's episode, and up next, we're talking about the money talking points. Okay, so we got two great money talking points today, and the first one is you can't change your financial situation overnight. So what small step do you need to take today to begin to change your financial situation? And for me, this one would be a small step, probably around, I don't know, given with the theme of the episode today being around debt, I think a small step that I need to take today is to plan out our debt plan. When are we going to be debt free? Because I don't currently have that plan because right now we're still taking on some more student loans. We have one more semester of student loans to take on for Rebecca, so I don't have everything outlined. That's the next small step. And you may be saying, well, that's a bigger step than my small step that came to my mind. That's okay. Figure out whatever small step you need to do. Is your small step logging into your mobile banking app and setting it up so your credit cards are tracked within your credit union's mobile banking? That's great. Maybe you only need to sign into one credit card account because you want to check it, and that's your small step to begin checking it more frequently. So figure out your small step, talk about it with a friend, and then go and do it, because that's how you begin making those changes to overcome and change your financial situation. The second money talking point is how much money is automatically going out the door. And this is a thought exercise, because if you begin to look at it, you'd be like, wow, 80% of my income is automatically disappearing. And that's crazy. Hopefully it's not that high, but this allows you to look at the numbers and say, wow, there is more money disappearing automatically than I thought. So it's a great way to gain perspective on your finances. So go look at your spreadsheet, go look at however you track your expenses, because as you've heard me say on many, many episodes, tracking your expenses is the first place to start. So go track your expenses and then figure out how much money is automatically going out of my bank account, because that's going to offer a real perspective shift to say, hey, I need to get this in a line to where I want to go. But coming up on the rest of this episode, I have a couple sections that I think are really key to take away from my conversation with Jeff today. So first, I want to start with the day factor. All right, welcome to this segment I'm calling the Dave Factor. And this has to do with Jeff's initial approach being heavily influenced by Dave Ramsey. Because aren't we all a little influenced by Dave? But it's okay to move on from Dave Ramsey. Look to other resources and continue learning more. It's something that all of us in the personal finance space would go through, I would say, because there's always an element of Dave Ramsey in all of us. We all probably started there in some sense, or at least we had some influence in our family, in our money talks with our family, with our parents, about Dave Ramsey. So everyone knows who he is, especially if you've dipped your toe in any sort of personal finance creator space and things like that. So it's okay to know who he is. It's okay to be influenced by Dave and say, hey, I hate debt because of Dave Ramsey. That's okay. But it's okay to move on and begin to learn from other people. Something that the Dave factor plays a huge role in is if we are encountering student loan debt or challenges in managing our finance, because a lot of people deal with this, but Dave has a solid plan to get out of debt. It's worked for people. And it can be hardcore, but sometimes that's what we need to break over those mental hurdles and to get over them and get through them. But the adoption of Dave Ramsey's plan and its suitability for the masses is because it's so broad that people can't adopt it. And Dave sticks to it very intensely because he's seen it work for so many people. So it'll work to get you going, but that's when that foundation piece comes into play. Do you understand your foundation and where you need to start with your money? And then you can take it from there and iterate on it and build on it, because once you have that foundation in place, you can begin to build your own perspectives and build your own pillars on top of that foundation. So make sure you find the foundation, like ask yourself questions. Do you like a credit card? Do you hate credit cards? What do you want to stick to? And what kind of habits do you want to figure out and build skills around? So ask yourself key questions that maybe you can challenge Dave's advice a little bit. But the Dave factor is definitely something that I think all of us can take away from today's interview, because He has an influence on a little bit of everybody when it comes to our personal finance habits and foundation. Up next, I want to take on a section with a question about what if you make a lot of money? So what if you make a ton of money? What if you're a very high earner? Well, are you immune to the risks of debt? I would say no. It's even riskier because you have more money to go out automatically on monthly payments if you are a high earner. It can be a huge pitfall if you rely on monthly payments, and it's important to consider time and how early you need to start and how much money you need to get going in to the market. So what happens if something goes very, very wrong? That's where the risk of debt comes out to play. And we're going to throw back to another very early episode, in episode number 2. It was a little rough. I know those early ones were a little rough, but what happens if something goes wrong? That's when an emergency fund comes into play. That's also when these large monthly payments can come into play in a really big way. Because what if something happens and you need all your money from one paycheck, but half of it's automatically disappearing the day after you get your paycheck? So insert a challenge into your life and say, what would happen if this happened? And then say, are the monthly payments causing me to be at more risk than I should be at? So that's the risk that debt can have when you're a high earner. It's all your money just disappearing automatically, and then you don't have any when you need it. And like I started out, debt is something that influences all of us. So do you have a debt management plan? Let's talk about that next. So to begin thinking about your debt management plan, you should really evaluate whether debt should always be in your life or eliminated. And does anyone really want debt to always be a present factor in their life? So, some questions or homework that you might take away from today's episode if you want to think about your debt plan. How does debt make you feel? Does it make you feel like you have to work because of debt? Do you feel like debt is restricting your life choices? Can you not do something because of a monthly payment, like change your job, move, etc.? Do you have to drive? Do you have to go to work in order to drive? Things like that because you're in debt. So consider how debt plays a role in the decisions you're making, and consider the purpose and the nature of the debt and its weight on you, because that's where you can begin to realize, oh, my debt management plan needs to be built around eliminating debt out of my life. So make sure you consider those questions that I asked and build your debt management plan. But what are you going to do when you hit those hurdles? You have that debt hurdle right in front of you. How do you jump over it? Let's talk about that next. All right, you've hit one of those debt hurdles and you're ready to jump right over it. What are some strategies to help you get out of feeling stuck when it comes to debt? So here, let me just go through a couple real quick and then we'll talk about a few of them. One is to create a list of your debts. Two, prioritize which ones you need to get rid of. Three, consider the snowball or avalanche methods. Four, track your expenses so you know where you can save. Five, negotiate with creditors, which is a throwback to episode 98 about DIY credit card debt reduction with Kenny Goldie. So go back and listen to that one, because that's a great one if you want to negotiate with creditors. Number 6, get a money buddy and stay accountable to your goals. And number 7, eliminate credit cards altogether if they're just a trap for you. So those are some great ones. I like to consider the snowball or avalanche methods. Do you need a more behavioral approach to motivate you towards your debt payoff? Or do you just want to keep it simple with the math and consider the avalanche method? Again, tracking your expenses is very important. It's come up time and time again, and I think it's a great place for people to start because it helps you get out of the mindset of feeling like you have to budget every single dollar, because tracking is going to help you see where your money's going automatically. And then, of course, one of the main hurdles is making sure that you're aligned with your spouse, because if you're not, maybe one of you is taking out more debt while the other's trying to get out of debt, and that's not going to go anywhere fast. So make sure you're seeking guidance and aligning with a spouse on your financial goals. Talk about money together. The only way to do well with money is by talking about it. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you again so much to Jeff Anzalone for coming on today's episode. Understanding our relationship with debt isn't just about the numbers. It's about understanding ourselves and the behavior behind money. The story of Rebecca and I figuring out how to handle her student loans really drives this point home for me. We gotta dig deep and ask ourselves whose debt it truly is, how it shapes our lives, the weight that it bears on each one of us, especially if you're in a marriage. But strategic planning is the beacon of hope amidst financial challenges, especially when it comes to debt. So view your life in 5-year increments. It'll also help you a ton because you really can't plan much beyond that. Sure, you can have those really long-range goals, but your plan being in 5-year chunks can be a great idea. It gives us flexibility to build upon that foundation we've set. But collaboration is key, both with content creators, make sure you're reaching out to people and providing questions and things so that we can talk about money on all of the platforms. But when we talk about money together, it strengthens our ability to work on things together. So through continuous learning, connecting, having money talks with people, we empower ourselves to make confident financial decisions that shape our financial journey. So make sure to have a money talk with your friends about today's episode. As we navigate debt management plans, remember it isn't always linear. You sometimes might take a small step back, but make sure you're taking small steps forward, like today's money talking point. So embrace the journey, keep all of the knowledge around you, and really maintain flexibility and build a better financial future. Be sure to head over and check out skylarfleming.com and sign up for my email list. But I have some great news that I want to share. I recently won a grant for my podcast and financial coaching business, so I'm excited to see the changes that this will allow me to bring forward to my podcast. I have a lot of fun ideas in the hopper. And if you want to see anything, head over to skylarfleming.com/feedback and let me know. I would love to hear anything from any one of you listening, how I can improve the show, guest suggestions, or just overall ideas and feedback. I'm open to any suggestions. I'd love to hear it. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.